faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. I guess the thing I can't really believe this week, the thing that's insane to me, is how fast things are going right now. I mean, 7 years ago, we sent 60,000 young service members, 58,000 to be exact, to their deaths in Vietnam, fighting the communists just to keep them out of our hemisphere, off our back porch. 65 years ago, we launched the Bay of Pigs invasion to try to take out Fidel Castro and keep the communists off our porch too. Folks, we fought the Cold War trying to break the back of the communist Soviet Union to destroy communism in the world and stop its menace and spread. Today, we shrug our shoulders as the Democrat Party is being taken over by communists. Folks, last week on the Battleground America podcast, I pointed out to you, and I tell you again to read it, the New York Times article basically talking about how the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, is now one of the primary influences in terms of who wins in New York area primaries, like New York City area primaries, and what we're now calling the Commie Corridor. I guess what's insane to me, what I can't believe, is how fast it's going. I sit in this chair every day, so I notice stuff like this. A little over a year ago, Democrat leadership didn't even want to acknowledge Zohran Mamdani. He was, for the most part, a pretty obscure state legislator who happened to be Marxist, happened to be a Democrat socialist serving in the New York legislature. Almost no one had heard of him. Now, he's the mayor of New York. And in just the last few months, it seems, he's gone from being, well, controversial, lightning rod kind of figure to kingmaker in the Democrat Party. Again, it's happened so fast. Let me give you one small but jarring example of what I'm talking about this week.
New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani confirming that former Vice President Kamala Harris has privately called him. Listen.
The vice president reached out to have a conversation, and we've had a brief conversation. We've been in touch over the last few months, and I really do appreciate her outreach.
Mamdani isn't the only far-left Democrat Harris has been in contact with, as she has held closed-door meetings with other prominent progressives like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Folks, Kamala Harris, lover or hater, is Democrat Party leadership. She's already been the vice president of the United States. And yet to run, she now needs the coronation of Zohran Mamdani and AOC. As for the first time, I heard the word kingmaker used on Fox News to talk about Zohran Mamdani. Again, a year and a half ago, an obscure state New York legislator who no one had heard of. Today, headline this week in the Hill newspaper, Chuck Todd, Schumer, Jeffries couldn't win a primary in New York City right now. Yeah, it looks like, polling-wise, Schumer, who's the leader of the Democrat Party, the number one leader of the Democrat Party in the Senate, and Jeffries, the leader of the party in the House, probably couldn't win a primary in their home state of New York right now. As CNN reports, in the Democrat Party, Democrat socialists are now more popular than actual Democrats. Democrat socialists with Democrat voters score plus 17 in popularity. Regular Democrats score only plus 4. The party's gone, y'all. This would have been unthinkable in the era of Vietnam and the Bay of Pigs and the Cold War. But today, everybody just shrugs their shoulders. Over ideologies, folks, these are Marx-based ideologies. Socialism and its kissing cousin, communism, they come from Marx. Well, folks, how many people did these ideologies kill in the last century? Around 100 to 220 million, depending on which estimate you take. Socialism alone killed 20 to 40 million. And yet, we let the Democrats get away with just shrugging their shoulders and acting like these are cool new ideas that everyone should consider. Here's the messaging on this that's obviously been distributed to Democrat Party members, talking heads.
And I think what makes our party a beautiful party is the fact that it's a big tent.
We are a big tent party focused on the ordinary concerns of everyday Americans.
We're a big tent. I want to make sure that our big tent is a tent that is in the majority and that we have the gavels.
I want us to be a Big Tent party. I mean, I've been saying this for years. I think that it's actually a sign of a party that is alive and growing when there's a contest of ideas inside the party.
We talk a lot about the party being a Big Tent party, and we should be.
We are a Big Tent party. That's who we are.
One of the things that makes the Democratic Party great is it's a Big Tent party. We need to stay that way.
How many Democrats are actively objecting to the communist takeover of their party? Just 13 Democrat House members and candidates have signed on to the new, what they're calling, centrist initiative. I guess you're a centrist now if you're not a communist. Called Promise to America, explicitly declaring we are capitalist, not socialist, and calling for secure borders, fiscal responsibility, and national pride. That's astonishing. But so is the casualness with which this is being treated. Like, take this on CNN. The hosts whining because Republicans are associating the DSA, Democrat Socialist of America, with communism. When apparently what we should do is just sit back and try a little socialism, see how it works.
And I just wonder why you can't just critique socialism as is and you have to go straight to communism.
Communism's much more, if you're just branding, and you know this as a communicator for campaigns, it's much easier
sounds
to understand.
Scary to go straight back to the 50s. Yeah. Love it. Okay.
Yeah, Republicans are just fear-mongering. Democrat Party going full socialist, no big deal. The Democrat Socialists of America, who, by the way, changed their charter last week to say that their goals are the elimination of the Senate, the elimination of the presidency, the elimination of the Supreme Court. They'll only be a House of Representatives, so no separation of powers, total mob rule. Oh, and by the way, the courts won't be a co-equal branch now. They'll be subservient to and operate under the direction of the House of Representatives, which means criminal justice or really justice of any kind, gone. But hey, it's all, you know, let's be casual about this thing. It could work. It'd be cool. We should try it, right? Why are Republicans getting so hysterical, CNN says. And folks, I'm playing this for you just as a sample of what you're hearing from the liberal media. I mean, why won't the GOP just chill out?
Talking about this, talking about the threat of communism, explaining about how Democrats are going to try and offer you free stuff, and that might sound good for a couple years.
Do you think they're skipping straight to communism?
Yeah, why would the GOP skip straight to communism? I mean, that's not what the Democrat Socialist of America Party stands for at all. Here's their leader, David Jenkins.
I mean, our goal is liberation. Our goal is communism.
So, yeah, I don't know why Republicans would exaggerate.
I mean, our goal is liberation. Our goal is communism.
Speaking of the Marxist theologies, and that's what they are, theologies, you could see the work of Marx on full display this week with FIFA and the European fans coming to America and their shock. I mean, Instagram was lit up with it. They didn't see anything like our big box stores, our restaurants, the ostentatious capitalism, the wealth here in America. It was shocking to them. Several of them saying, well, I want to go home and keep my air conditioning. This is amazing. Yeah, because only 30% of Europe has, mainland Europe has air conditioning. Pick any video, any story. The Wall Street Journal did a great job. The absolute shock and awe of Europeans who figured, for the most part, whatever was middle class over there was middle class over here. And finding how very poor they are. And the glee, the joy on their faces as they experienced American life for the first time and realized how very hosed and robbed they've been. Folks, I knew exactly how they felt because I experienced it in reverse. I'll never forget the road trip that I went on in my early 20s for weeks with my cousins. And I had the same preconceived notion that the Europeans who came over here for FIFA did, except in reverse. I just kind of assumed the middle class in Europe would basically be like the middle class in America. I was shocked. The thing that stuck out to me the most, at the time I had my first job here in America, and I was working for a construction company called Shelco. I've told you this before. I was the secretary in the main office of a huge industrial project. We were building a massive office building. And so I got to know, you know, grading and plumbing and all of the trades. And I mean, at one point in Charlotte, I could drive by a construction site, pretty much tell you what was going to be built there just based on what companies were doing the grading. And I realized after about a week, once we'd driven through the UK and Scotland, I hadn't seen a single construction site. In fact, for weeks more, I wouldn't see one at all. Anywhere. Folks, I live in Greenville, South Carolina. You can't drive from one side of the upstate where I live to the other. It's impossible. And not see a construction site, not see some evidence of building, of newness, of construction. They don't have it there. And while we were on the road, we ended up staying with relatives of mine. I have a lot of relatives still in Europe, cousins, second cousins, people like that, many of whom I'd never met before. And every one of them was college educated. Some had post-college education. Not a one of them owned their homes. Not in their 20s, not in their 30s, not in their 40s. In fact, only one of my relatives owned a home. It was small and by American standards run down. He was incredibly proud to host us in it. He was the only member of his family who had a home, and it was only because he had inherited it. And I walked in and looked at shag carpet that was very dated by decades, wallpaper that hasn't been in style since the 1970s, said one day he hoped to have the money to fix it up. And I was horrified. That'd be a rental in the ghetto. I knew that because I already owned rental property in my early 20s. I came home gobsmacked. I've been talking about it ever since. Well, the FIFA fans who saw that just experienced it in reverse. Just realized how incredibly poor they are comparatively for their station in life and their education level. But also, folks, realized how wonderful and warm and not racist and really cool Americans actually are, nothing like their socialist overlords have told them. There's so many ways you can measure this with numbers, but this was my favorite this week. Headline in the Wall Street Journal: the U.S. added 1,200 new millionaires last year. Just joking. No, the U.S. added 1,200 new millionaires a day last year. There are roughly 340 million Americans now. A staggering 23.6 million of us are millionaires. Do you realize that's half the millionaires in the world? Mainland China, which has three times our population, has just 5.3 million millionaires. Again, compared to 23.6 million for us. How does it stack up? Well, if you combine Italy, the Netherlands, Australia, France, the UK, and Germany, to form a Western country roughly the size of the US, how many total millionaires do they have? 11.2. Again, we've got 23.6 million millionaires. And nobody's ever lived like we do in recorded human history, thanks to technology, access to technology, and our relative wealth. Insane thing number three. It was both an awesome week at the Supreme Court and a really bad one. Basically, what the Supreme Court said this week was, we're not going to get rid of birthright citizenship, even though it's completely unconstitutional. I'll get into that in a minute. But what we are going to do is hand you the ability to send immigrants home. Let's focus on that first. Trump won a devastating case, devastating for the left, that is, that will allow him immediately to deport millions. It's the thing that's been holding him back the most. When people complain he's not getting the numbers he should, that's not his fault. Here's why. Over 30 years ago, Congress passed a fast-track deportation bill. It's law now. And what it says is if you lay hands on, catch, or encounter an illegal immigrant in the first 2 years, they can be deported without any kind of legal hearing. So if you first encountered them at the border and now it's been 5 years, doesn't matter. You bump into them, they can go out the door. It's what the law has said for decades. But what happened is when George W. Bush came into office, he wrote a rule. A rule is just here, you know, here's what the law says, but here's how my administration is going to operate. He wrote a rule that said that basically virtually everybody gets an immigration hearing in front of a judge anyway. It was just made up. It was silly. And if you've been hearing about, wow, there's a backlog of millions of illegals and this is why they've got to stay 7 years, 9 years. No, they never had to stay. It's just what Bush did. Well, Biden adopted that. And we had more fake backlog. Everything's so fake with these people, I swear. Well, Trump and his administration, they read the law and said, hey, we want to fast track deport. Well, of course, the Democrats sued, said, no, you got to do what Bush did because, I don't know, we like it better. And that resulted in a court battle that's lasted up until this week. Well, the Supreme Court decided with Trump, which means he can turn around now and deport millions. And he didn't waste any time. The New York Times flipping out because in the last 5 days, we've picked up and deported 10,000 people. An all-time record. The only thing that comes close is Barack Obama's fake deportation numbers, where they're counting them as deportations, but what they really were people showing up at the border who were from ineligible countries or had criminal records. Obama was still turning them away. Biden took them all, and he'd just turn them back. So those weren't real deportations. Nobody had to move you anywhere. So the last 5 days have shattered that record. If you look at the average of the last few weeks, you can see, folks, how devastating what Biden imported actually was. Think of the size of the shadow criminal nation that Joe Biden imported when you hear what Department of Homeland Security Secretary Martin Wayne Mullen said this week.
We're seeing our arrest numbers come up. We're seeing our deportation numbers continue to increase. Right now, we're deporting on average over 3,000 individuals. Actually, the average has been for several weeks now, over 3,200 individuals a day. 70% of those individuals we're deporting have outstanding criminal charges on them, or they've already been charged with a felony. 70% of those individuals. 70% of the individuals that are men and women throughout DHS arrest, be it ICE, CBP, or one of our other components, 70% of those individuals have pending felony charges or are current felons that shouldn't be on our streets. So when we go after the worst of the worst, which is exactly what we're doing, we're saving lives. This is a statistic I like to put out, but 50% of the individuals killed in Fairfax County, Virginia, are killed at the hand of an illegal.
Think about that. They're picking up 3,200 illegal immigrants a day, and 70% of them are either convicted felons in our country or they have felony charges pending against them. That's a staggering amount of criminality. Folks, it all ties together. This is why Democrats have sanctuary cities, because they know that it's gotten out all over the world. Hey, if you're a criminal, rather than standing trial, and I've explained this many times, when you bond out on the charges, including, you know, child rape, murder, whatever, just come to America, hide out in a sanctuary city. It won't matter that you're wanted by Interpol. Oh, and if ICE puts a detainer on you when you're arrested in a sanctuary city, no biggie. We're going to make sure that on your new latest charges, you're released out on the street rather than handed to ICE. So we're going to create literally not just a sanctuary for illegals, but a sanctuary for crime. Why? Well, that leads us to insane thing number three. Why create such an orgy of criminality that 50% of the murders in the now infamous sanctuary city of Fairfax, Virginia, 50% of the murders are committed by illegal immigrants? Power, fake power, stolen power. Specifically, 14 congressional seats. Folks, this is the audio clip of the week. It's the Attorney General of Missouri talking about her court case against the Census Bureau. Specifically, she's trying to stop illegal immigrants from being counted for the purposes of allocating congressional districts. Listen to how much power the Democrats stole through sanctuary cities and illegal immigration.
And I think one of the reasons that Biden opened the borders is because we have been counting since Jimmy Carter illegal immigrants in the census. And what that means is when we decide how many congressional seats each state's going to get, we use those numbers from the census. We shouldn't be counting them. We sued the Census Bureau over that. And it's not just the number of congressional seats. It's also the number of electoral votes. And it's hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funding. If we're able to win this suit and stop counting illegal immigrants in the census, we believe about 14 seats would move from liberal states to conservative states. Ooh. Along with them, 14 electoral votes. It could make the difference for the next 20 or 30 years in who controls Congress and who controls the presidency.
Think about that, folks. You know how right now we're kind of stressing about who will win the midterms? We shouldn't be. We should have 14 more seats. It shouldn't even be close. And folks, those 14 seats are different from the 19 seats that the Supreme Court gave back to us now that the activist Supreme Court, remember the one that said, hey, those would be Republican seats, but we're going to force them to be drawn to elect black Democrats because racism, and we're going to completely take the voting rights away from the Republicans who live there. Yeah, that's 19 seats. You do the math. 14 seats plus the 19, that's the sanctuary cities that gives Democrats, plus the 19 seats stolen by an activist Supreme Court now returned to us. That's a big number, isn't it? It's 33 seats that should be in Republican hands. We wouldn't even be sweating the midterms. Think about what it'd be like for Republican presidential candidates who typically have a disadvantage in the presidential election electoral college to actually get all of the electoral votes back that were due. It would be so much easier to win and to run. All of that's been stolen from us. That's why these deportations are so critical. By the way, through redistricting, you know, those 19 seats that the Supreme Court said were unconstitutional because they were race-based, you can't draw stuff that way. Yeah, those 19 seats, we've taken 10 back through redistricting so far. And we've got other Republican states that hopefully will get around to redrawing them in the next year or two. Insane thing number two, the Supreme Court's ruling on birthright citizenship. I'm not going to lie, it was devastating. And folks, if you listen to me from that time period when Trump first did the executive order, I said it was a bad idea. And what I was afraid of is that it was an executive order. I mean, there's no way the Supreme Court was going to let Donald Trump end birthright citizenship with a stroke of a pen. And I was afraid, I knew that they would vote it down. But what I was afraid of is that it would create more precedent that birthright citizenship is a thing. What happened was so much worse. They could have just made a ruling on the means, which was executive order, and said, and this is what I thought they'd say, well, Congress is going to have to pass a law. You can't do that executively. Well, they went a step further with John Roberts writing for the majority saying, no, that's constitutional. Congress can't even change the law. Folks, before that, it was kind of up in the air. We didn't know whether the Supreme Court would uphold a law passed by Congress. That was devastating, especially since Chief Justice Roberts is quite literally full of crap. He knows it's not true. He knows birthright citizenship is unconstitutional. How do I know he knows? Because his opinion only dealt with birth in the U.S. He ignored the subject to the jurisdiction of. Why? He can't argue it. So he simply ignored it. Absolute sloppiness in a Supreme Court justice, or convenience, whichever you look at. He obviously wanted to keep it or was afraid of the upheaval it would cause. Because here's the thing, folks. If you go back to the second part, subject to the jurisdiction of, and folks, you'll even find this in the Roberts decision. He mentions the three groups of people that cannot get birthright citizenship, as written in the 14th Amendment and understood at the time. Senator Lyman Trumbull, he managed the citizenship clause at the time in the U.S. Senate. This is the Wall Street Journal I'm reading from, explained that subject to the jurisdiction meant, quote, not owing allegiance to anyone else, whether a tribe or foreign power. The authors of the 14th Amendment couldn't have been clearer. It couldn't have been clearer at the time in their speeches, their editorials. Subject to a foreign power meant you were a citizen of another country. Ditto for Representative John Bingham, who handled the movement of the 14th Amendment through the House. He used the same framework, referring after ratification to persons born in the U.S., quote, and not owing allegiance to any foreign power, unquote. This is why it's so important that even Roberts mentioned the three groups of people it didn't apply to. Invading armies, you come here, you get someone pregnant, definitely not a U.S. citizen. Why? Because the soldier was subject to the power of a foreign government. Who else? Indians. Well, you can't get more domiciled in the U.S. than the Indians. They were here generations before we were. But they're subject to a foreign power, namely the Indian nation that they belong to. They couldn't be U.S. citizens. In fact, they wouldn't get citizenship until 1924, because that's how deeply ingrained this thought pattern was. And finally, diplomats, still that way today. Why? Well, they're subject to a foreign power, just like illegal immigrants. Folks, Justice Roberts knows this. That's why he took the sloppy and I think, quite frankly, pathetic track of barely acknowledging the second requirement of the 14th Amendment. He just wanted to keep birthright citizenship. Now, Amy Coney Barrett went along with him, and Justice Gorsuch went along with them as well. So it was a 6-3 decision. Gorsuch is saying, well, in his, you know, what basically what he wrote is saying, well, I think Congress could pass a law, though, outlawing birthright citizenship. So it looks like if Congress did pass such a law, it'd be 5-4. But I'm betting Amy Coney Barrett would still go along with Roberts. So, folks, we're just hosed. We have no choice now but to get women of childbearing age out of this country so as not to have to support at a 65% welfare rate going forward all of her offspring. It's slavery, the enslavement of the American people, the American taxpayer to these people. We could have ended it this week, but Roberts didn't. So that's the bad Supreme Court news. The good news is we've got to double and triple down on mass deportation. We've got no choice. Insane thing number one. As we head into a very special 4th of July, the 250th anniversary of the founding, Democrats are telling their sheeple that they are the true constitutionalists. They are the ones truly following the footsteps of the founders. And that is why we need a wealth tax. That is why we need the system of government, the reformation of capitalism that they're describing. And the most recent person to make that argument this week, Gavin Newsom, argued what we really need is a wealth tax, a federal one, a billionaire's tax. In other words, pure confiscation. You have too much money, ergo, we're going to take a certain percentage of it from you just because. Newsom said the reason for that is constitutional. It's exactly what the founders were doing. Quote, the system America's founders built was designed to prevent the concentration of power in a few hands, but we've allowed that concentration to happen anyway, slowly, in plain sight over decades. We're actually telling them this, which is made possible by the fact that they're so uneducated about the founding. Most kids just learn over and over about the Civil War and how bad America was, but not the Revolutionary War. He's right that the system the founders built was designed to prevent the concentration of power in few hands. That's why they had the separation of powers with co-equal branches. So that's correct. They weren't trying to stop the concentration of power in the form of money. That is a total lie. What they were trying to stop was taxation without representation. They so despise taxation, and I bet the left figures their sheeple don't know this, that there was no income tax in the Constitution at all. In fact, if you go back and read the Federalist Papers, most of which was just the debate around the two constitutional conventions, the first one failed, the second one succeeded, you'll find unanimity that the founders truly believed that income tax Taxation was slavery. Let me say that again. Income taxation was slavery. We didn't have the income tax until an amendment created it in the early 1900s, around the time of the First World War, and it was supposed to sunset. It never did. The left sheeple, particularly the young ones, who are overeducated but know nothing, have no idea how afraid of the masses the founders were. Why? Because they were almost all wealthy landowners. They were absolutely terrified of the mob. That's why they put the handbrakes in the Constitution that they did. What am I talking about? Well, the way things were originally constructed, you had to own land to vote. And you had to be a man. Why couldn't you be a woman? Because at the time, you couldn't own land. You'd have to achieve land ownership in order to vote. Why? They were terrified of anybody who didn't own land, which back then was the purest form of wealth. I mean, it was an agrarian society. They were terrified of anybody who didn't own land voting because they thought those people would immediately steal their land through voting. So they put a bunch of brakes on the mob, on average people. They were not about democracy. Not at all. That's why they called America a republic. In fact, you won't find the word democracy in the Constitution, but you will find the word Republican. Do a text search. You'll see it. Republican form of government. So you had to own property before you could even vote. And they were still so afraid of what the voters would do that they created a Senate that, you know, where senators would only be sent by state legislators who would select the senators In other words, they were so afraid of the masses voting, because the masses, quite frankly, on average, aren't that bright, that they made sure that only one house, the House of Representatives, would actually be elected by the masses. The handbrake on that tyranny was, again, the Senate, because particularly at the time, state legislators and state legislatures were incredibly powerful. Remember, at the time, we had a weak central federal government, a very strong state government. So these state legislators, I mean, they were like fiefdoms. They were smart, they were powerful, and they were landowners themselves. You wouldn't have gotten elected to the state legislature otherwise. And they wanted them selecting the senators so that the senators would put the brakes on any kind of land confiscation. That's how our country was set up. It's not a democracy. It was a republic. So the idea that they're selling them right now, that, hey, we need a wealth tax, is what the founders would have wanted. No, not in this time space continuum. But again, folks, so much of what's going on with the Democrat Party right now and the infiltration of actual communists is really due to the exfiltration of true history in our schools. It could be our downfall. So celebrate this weekend the founders who created those co-equal branches. And understand what it is the Democrat Socialists of America are actually doing. And that's this: wanting to destroy two of the three co-equal branches. Look at the two that they're going for. If you look at the party platform they adopted in recent weeks, the Democrat Socialists of America, what do they get rid of? The Senate and the federal court system, the Supreme Court. And it creates a new court system that answers to the House of Representatives. In other words, eliminates true criminal justice and really true justice, and makes it subject to the whims of the House of Representatives, a true, pure mob rule democracy. By the way, it also eliminates the presidency. That's what they say they'll do. And then they would just hire a bureaucrat to run things. And all of that would be stacked underneath the all powerful House of Representatives, which really is just mob rule. Folks, they get it. What they're actually doing, as they say, hey, we're returning to the system America's founders built. That's what we're doing. That's what Democrat socialism is. That's where the Democrat Party is going. It's total lie. They're actually doing the opposite, and eliminating the co-equal branches, i.e. the checks on power, so they can have total power. Pray that their voters figure it out.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.